Welcome to Telling the Tales, the podcast where we'll go through every single Telltale video game that they ever did make. I'm your host, Mitchell Farley Wolf, and I'm joined, as per always, by co-host, beautiful man, extraordinaire, very good at drawing, very good at impressions.
Oh, stop.
Dustin Cornwall Jackman.
Oh, that's different. I like that. We're mixing it up today. Hello, I'm your co-host, Dustin Cornwall Jackson.
Mixes it up?
Who?
Batman. Batman the Enemy Within, episode 4, What Ails You, released January 23rd, 2018. We're in 2018. That's the year that it all goes down. Directed by Chris Reiser, designed by Chris Schroyer, Mark Darren, and Rachel Noel. Written by Patrick Kevin Day and Lauren Mee.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Mitchell.
Yeah.
Was it me, or was this episode, like, extremely short?
I don't think I felt it being extremely short. It was a little shorter than, I think, at least the previous couple.
Yeah. I really felt it this time, and I don't know. I wasn't, like, really keeping super close attention to, you know, the span of time. But so you know how achievements pop up when playing these games.
I know how they do.
Yeah, here and there. So I didn't realize, I thought I was only like maybe on chapter 2, and I was like, oh, the next achievement will be, I'll be here at chapter 3. This is a nice normal length for an episode. And then I got the achievement for beating chapter 5.
You know what? I think that did happen with me too. I clocked that as well. That was interesting.
Yeah. I'm not saying this as a knock against the episode, because I thought this was a good episode. Like, it had some really intense scenes and stuff. But boy, yeah. Even we've had some short episodes before, but I think this is the time where I've most felt it.
Mm-hmm.
Which fine. If that's all they needed for the story, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, and I think they had a very powerful story this episode, if short, not at all without substance. This was the big, to put a little descriptor on this episode, what it had that the others didn't. This is the turnaround for John.
Yeah.
This is the Jokerification of John Doe.
He became a Joker.
He became a Joker. And I think we had a lot of theories about, would it be possible for him to not be a Joker? Would it be possible for him to be something else, to die, to turn into Robin, to do anything? And I am not entirely positive if there was a way out of it, but it seems like there was not a way out of it. But the way in which he Jokerified could be very different. There's a lot of different context on what he's doing, but he did become the Joker.
Yeah, and who knows what happens next episode. Maybe you can stop him from doing more Jokering.
Yeah.
Put an end to the Jokerification of the world.
The Jokerification of the world is it's taken over, Dustin. we're all going insane out there.
Jokers left and right.
Yeah. This episode started on what I think of as kind of a rough footing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so you're Bruce Wayne, you're stuck in that little refrigerator that Harley locks you into. And you're going to die if you don't figure out how to get out of there. You're going to get frozen. And this was the cliffhanger of the last episode. And within, I think, 2 minutes, you solve it by remote triggering the EMP in the area with your phone. And then you can just walk out of there, and you're good.
You don't even need to worry about it. It's fine, yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, you were, like, cold for a second.
You were pretty cold for a little while, yeah.
Yeah, but now you're warm and it's fine.
Yeah, so then you're out of there. And that really deflated the danger. To me, that kind of took away from the stakes that it was the finale of last episode, and then it's like, oh no, it didn't matter. Don't worry about it.
I get that.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's, I guess I just kind of expected it. Like, Bruce Wayne isn't gonna die.
Yeah, I know he's not going to die. I just thought it would be more of... I don't know what
you think
I thought.
There would at least
I think
be
this
some
is
more
what
consequences.
I thought would happen. But it, more could have happened in order to make it a more dangerous way out. Remember that episode of The Expanse? And I know the answer is no, but think about it. Remember that episode of The Expanse? I think it was the fourth one where Drummer was going through the space station without oxygen. And she was like just mentally going through all the steps she needed to conserve oxygen and kind of train her body to not need it as much while it was in reserve. That was an interesting and cool way, I thought, to show something that in real time is happening in probably the span of about 5 to 10 minutes, but go into the mind set of the character who's in trouble here. If they were gonna do something like this to Bruce Wayne to get him out of that box, I would have thought something like that could be a cool way to do it, and a cool way to do it that would still end up in the same place, that we are not gonna see Bruce Wayne freeze to death,
right?
But
I guess I can agree with
a little
you.
Bit more of the mindset.
I guess I agree with you. Partially because, like I said, the episode is so short, you wouldn't be, like, losing anything if you got a scene like that in there.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the reason that it was such a kind of meaningless little moment was because Catwoman could have been in the box instead of you.
True.
Yeah, because I think where this really comes together is when you go to the place that Harley, Bane, and Freeze, and Catwoman, they're all going to some, it's like a spa, but under the spa, it's a massive secret facility where they make all the viruses that you hate. Yeah, and you go there after getting out of... our friend G-Man is messaging me very cryptic things right now.
What's he saying?
It's nothing.
Should we just say on the show?
No, it's not even cryptic like he normally does. I just don't even know what he's talking about.
Oh, but, okay.
Anyway, you go to the spa after they go through, and because we didn't go with them and because we were frozen, they killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
They killed a lot of people in incredible ways.
They ripped a guy in half. His like whole bottom half is on vacation.
Yeah, because like I thought I was doing sort of a selfless thing by not putting Catwoman in the box, but
yeah,
clearly it was more selfish than I thought, because if I was there in the spa, I would have saved all of these people from not being torn in half.
Right.
Ripped asunder.
Just screwed about.
Yeah, there's like the top half of a guy sitting in a chair. His legs nowhere to be found. And Bruce Wayne looks at him and goes, I guess Bane got to him. I don't know if we've seen Bane pick up a guy and rip him in two before, but
I believe he could.
I guess I do, yeah. He's a little more grounded in this than he is in some other Batman material where, like, oh, he could definitely rip anything in half.
Right.
Because none of these people are magic yet. We're still in a grounded Batman universe, even though the DC universe is pretty magic. You ever think about that?
There's Zatanna.
Yeah, even within the Batman rogues gallery, you've got, like, Poison Ivy... that's supernatural.
Yeah, she just controls plants.
Yeah, I think in one of the movies they try to make Poison Ivy kind of like a fungal infection or something. It's somehow cool. A biological infection from plants, but still it's not like that's magic. It's normally magic the way Poison Ivy is. And there's so many other things in the DC universe that are aliens or magic or whatever. But every time they make a Batman movie, for some reason, they'd be like, even though he canonically lives in this magical universe, it's somehow unbelievable that there would be magic in this. So they never touch on that stuff, except for like Justice League. They did it in Justice League. But it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird to have like a character be grounded in almost everything he's in, even though like
have he's poison canonically ivy
not that grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Telltale like didn't want to do it either. They didn't want to touch it at all. You like Scarecrow?
Yeah. I like Scarecrow. Remember when we thought he was going to show up last time and he didn't?
Yeah, he didn't. He was kind of... I guess he's like a pseudo-inspiration for Lady Arkham. But he's not
Lady Arkham. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. He could...
Well, instead we got these
just
said,
called her Scarecrow.
Yeah, I would have been fine with that, too. Just have, like, her be a different take on Scarecrow. They already have so many different takes. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Especially, like, the thing that she did. She made people afraid. Like, that's very specifically Scarecrow.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know why they didn't do that. Maybe they didn't notice.
I guess it's cool. They were like, Scare what?
They didn't notice that they had made Scarecrow by accident.
This is our own original thing, and it's going to be great. She, like, scares people.
Yeah, Scarecrow.
She makes, We can call her Lady Arkham.
So, all of the conversations that we had about John Doe being Dick Grayson, or I guess it was one conversation, and it was mostly me thinking that, not you. but we find out that John Doe was in a carnival in this episode, and I thought, oh my god, it's gonna happen. These are the Flying Graysons carnival, setup here, and John Doe's gonna find his past. He's gonna remember that he was an acrobat. That's what I thought was gonna happen for sure. Didn't happen.
It did not happen. All the steps were there.
No, yeah, they made it a carnival to sort of provide the more of a backstory for Harley, which is weird because I think it's like a hat on a hat for her to be a carnival worker and a doctor.
Yeah.
Before being a Harley.
Yeah, you were just asking to become a Harley Quinn by doing that.
Yeah. You can't be a psychologist and a trapeze artist. You think, what are you, some Harley Quinn?
Now you're some sort of super villain.
I think if you have that many jobs, you're probably a super villain. It's too risky.
You'll become a super villain with that much stress.
Yeah, that was I liked the setting there, the carnival.
Yeah, same. Very spooky. A lot of very cool colors in the funhouse.
Yeah, the funhouse that was.
How
definitely...
did it look for you? You were doing the shadow mode, so I wonder how it looked for you. I was thinking that, like, the whole time.
Oh, it was a very colorful divergence from most of the shadow mode stuff. The objects there, like the wooden paintings and things, those themselves still were black and white. But there were a lot of neon lights illuminating the place, and those were all color, and they were casting the color onto those black and white objects. Really cool looking thing. I think
it's awesome.
In that moment, it would have been interesting to see what non-shadow mode looked like, but I kept it on. There, in the room that you corner John in, where you see that he's killed three agency agents, that room is mostly. It looks like a dark void, but then there's like floating pictures hanging on the wall where they're, because they're actually on the wall, but the walls themselves are so black in shadow mode that it's this really surreal kind of mind palace-y look.
It's cool.
Yeah. Shadow mode's great. I just think it's good. I
should look up a video of it after this.
I still definitely think that shadow mode works better in the original game than Enemy Within. But, yeah, I mean, I've got no complaints with keeping it on.
You don't regret anything. You live your life the way you want.
Yeah, I think it does a good job in making it feel more divergent than some of the other Telltale games as well. Because Telltale fatigue I think we found that it's real. I think we found that it's a real thing. but the more very different the games look and feel from each other, the better. And nothing looks like Batman Shadow Mode.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Regular mode looks a little bit like
Wolf Among Us a little bit, but not entirely.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I still prefer... Well, I don't know. I say I prefer the way it normally looks, but I haven't been doing Shadow Mode. I'll need to watch a video to see what I'm missing out on. Maybe I'll get some shots of how it looked for me, too, because it still looked very cool for me, just the nice mix of colors. It was kind of black lighty.
Yeah, I have a feeling that if you look at just, like, comparison screenshots or videos of one area or something, you will probably prefer the color mode.
And that's how I was with Walking Dead.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a different kind of thing. Graphic black option in Walking Dead, I think, is just not the option. But the point I was going for was... Shadow mode is great to settle into, I think. As a longer experience, feeling shadow mode, I think, is more powerful over time. With that, if you just look at one picture, I think you're gonna look at the color, and everyone would like it more because it's just more vibrant.
Right.
But then there's a tonal thing about hanging out in that shadow mode that starts making you feel a certain way about Batman and Gotham and stuff that I totally get that. Yeah. Yeah, that's the episode.
Let's go into our segments.
Yeah.
One thing I liked about this episode.
Yeah. Tell me what you like about this episode.
And I had been feeling this way for the last couple episodes, but it really hit me the hardest here. How I was just really thinking about how this whole season started off with, so John Doe.
Yeah.
He is just a powder keg you're trying not to set off. Mm-hmm. And at this point in the episode, he just like is an actual friend you just actually want to help out. It's great. They just did such a good job with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've done a terrific job with John Doe. He's really stolen the season and this episode in particular. I think it's great what they've done with both John Doe and Amanda Waller, where...
Yeah.
Like with... And Alfred, even, in this episode, where there's been these hints early through the season that, like with Waller, people say she's... reckless and puts other people at danger to get to the bottom line, but we've criticized the game for not showing that at all, and in fact when push comes to shove she actually does the opposite. Alfred, they keep saying he's tired and like needs to be taken care of, but he's always been fine. And John
yeah, don't worry about it.
They say John's this unhinged like dangerous villain of a person that, like, I know you're friends with him, but there's more to him. And everything we've seen from John is, like, kind of, right? Like, he's unhinged a bit, but, like, he does not kill people for fun. He doesn't try to go out of his way to do bad. He doesn't do any of these things that I think would make sense to do a lot of the time. So, like, all of these things that the game has been warning us about with these people have just felt like empty threats a little bit.
Right.
They've not made good on making those things feel real. Until now, they've all kind of culminated into a moment where John is that way right now, and Waller is that way, and Alfred took a spill, and he's having a tough time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gave him a vacation. I said, you know what? Go to a beach.
Yeah. We only have one more episode of Telltale's Batman, so I hope that it ends with Alfred getting on a plane and quitting.
No more of this. I'm done being an old man.
Have they ever shown Alfred quit?
I'm sure they have here and there before. I know they do some interesting stuff with him in the Harley Quinn show. But I can't think of, like, any examples where they just have him, like, straight up quit.
Yeah, I mean, they've had him die. I've seen Alfred die in other things. I've seen Alfred... there's one, like, not canon run of the comics where he's the Joker.
That's fun.
Yeah, he puts on his makeup every night to go be the Joker for Bruce to, like, give him something to do.
That... I don't know how that plays out in the actual story, but it sounds like the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, there's... I think it is more funny than not, because it's... in that comic run, it's a very different kind of Bruce Wayne, and I think the idea of that story is that he's much more of an obsessive about, like, he's got to go and take down these villains. So if he doesn't have... the wheel to run on, like a hamster, he'll get weird and destructive. So Alfred becomes the Joker every night in order to give Bruce something to do. Batman's kind of like a folk tale character where you can just do it your own way. What would your Batman be like? What would you make a Batman about?
Man, that's a good question. I feel so. If you had asked me this a while back, like month, even when we were doing season one, I wouldn't have really known. Just because I feel like the kind of thing I like to do is not necessarily what Batman is, but there's just been so many different takes on Batman. And even just recently, they did a movie called Holly Jolly Batman or Merry Little Batman. I forget what it's called. But it's just like a really cartoony movie with like this weird style where Batman is like an actual just like dad to Robin, who's like a little kid, little boy, and Batman's like, "Hey, champ, you want to go out and toss the ball around? And we, you know, I'm just a regular cool dad." And you know, the villains are very over the top and cartoony. Something like that would be fun. Or they have this show called DC Superhero Girls, which is done by it's made by Lauren Faust, who's done a bunch of different cartoons, and that's very not like wacky cartoony, but still very lighthearted and fun. I feel mm-hmm. like that's kind of the direction I would go, where it's over the top, kind of goofy, not really something to take super seriously. Which, you know, I'm sure not a lot of people would love. But I love that you can do that sort of thing with Batman.
Yeah, you know, they just put out a movie about Batman's dog, right? Like, you can do anything.
Oh, yeah, that DC League of Super Pets thing?
Yeah, is he played by, is it Kevin Hart? Is Kevin Hart in there?
Kevin Hart, yeah.
That's silly. And that movie didn't look good to me. But also,
you could do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can make a movie like that and put it out, and Lego Batman and put it out, and the Robert Pattinson Batman, which is way darker, and put it out. And all of those can just be Batman movies. And that's they're all of the same thing. Teen Titans Go is a Batman thing. If you squint, you have to remember Batman sometimes because it doesn't feel that way at all. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's cool. I was just talking to a friend about, like, exactly this.
I think if I made a Batman, it would be real, like, sexy.
Ooh, sexy. I like that.
Yeah, it's a different direction for sure.
I'd be sexy. I feel like there's lots of characters in there that are sexy, so... Alfred, I don't think that's...
Yeah,
Alfred for sure. The
Alfred,
Scarecrow.
Waller, Scarecrow. Yeah.
That's all you really need right there.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, he's got that blue head.
Half of Two-Face, but which half?
He holds his finger up to his mouth and is like, "I'll never tell."
For those of you at home, you won't have known this because I'll have edited it out, but we just had a technical issue, and I'm scared now. So I think what we should do is go through some of our favorite highlights a little bit faster than maybe we normally would. let's okay. hop around.
I think that makes sense considering how short this episode is.
Yeah, yeah, let's hop to the end, because the end is, I think, what we want to talk about.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Harley's got some viruses. She's got them in her hand, a vial of viruses, you know, just a, just some virus juice, you know, like the kind that exists in real life. And she's...
Right, she just has the virus juice in hand.
Yeah, Bane and Freeze have been taken care of, but Harley is just out there on the bridge holding this virus juice, and she's cornered by the agency people. It's a standstill, and Bruce Wayne, who is with John at the time, is called in to see what they can do. And you have a lot of options here. I was really impressed, actually, with how many seemingly different approaches you can take to this situation in this choice-based game, where you can tell, like, you can go out there first and try it on your own, and you can succeed or fail. And then, depending on that, John might want to intervene, and you can tell him that he can or can't. And depending on how you handle that, John might be happy or angry with you. And depending on that, John might go to Harley. And what happened for me, and I assume that we played it kind of similarly, because we always tend to, right?
Yeah. But
what happened for me is that John acted like he was on Harley's side, and then... like put her in a headlock and got the viruses from her. So like he kind of saved the day in terms of that, at least. He got the virus from Harley.
Yeah, as of right now, he did a good job.
As of that part, he did a great job. And then Amanda Waller, who's been raising some suspicion on herself throughout this entire episode, has said, okay, good job, John. Now give the virus to me. And at that moment, I was like, oh, wait, hang on. She shouldn't have this. We shouldn't give it to her.
God, you and I are actually on the same side here.
Yeah. Even though there was that entire, was that whole basement of virus vials contaminated or something? Like, are those... There was, like, hundreds of them. Are those not good anymore?
Maybe?
Because Amanda Waller can get those for sure. I thought, yeah, it was always just more about Harley not having them. So I think John not giving them to Waller felt more like a weird thing. Because she's going to have it, just if from here or otherwise. But maybe John didn't know that. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe John didn't know that.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong, too. Was there an issue? Like, did the viruses die because the glass case they were in was broken when
they slammed Bane into it, so maybe that destroyed what they had, and Harley got away with, like, one of the last ones.
It seemed like there were too many to have all been messed up by that. But maybe they were. Maybe it was like a temperature control thing and they died out. But in that case, the one in Harley's hand is probably messed up too. So I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe the place had a bunch of different viruses and they only found the one they were looking for.
They just have a bunch of different viruses in there that they have in storage, but so they need that one specific one that Harley has.
Yeah, all of the other ones are gonorrhea, but the one that Harley got, that's the actual one they wanted. Bane got so much gonorrhea on him in that case.
He's got a fatal case of gonorrhea. I almost said diarrhea.
For all of my life, when I thought people were talking about the disease the clap, I thought it was chlamydia because it starts with a cla sound. But the clap is gonorrhea. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Okay.
That makes so much more sense for chlamydia to be the clap. Why would that be the clap?
I don't know. I didn't name them.
Yeah. Some of those words, I think we got to take them back. We got to repurpose them. We have to show them who's boss. We're boss of words. We made words.
Yeah, you know what? I think we got to be in charge of words from now on. People have to go through us.
Yeah, humans came from primates the same way that words came from us. They're our lasting legacy, Dustin. And for them to get out of hand like this is like a teenager throwing a temper tantrum to their parents.
Right. If someone just like throws a word around, we're going to be like Amanda Waller and say, give that word back, please.
I got so lost in my own metaphor just then. That actually, like, I felt it touch my brain a little bit. We have to move on.
What were we talking about? Batman?
Yeah, probably Batman, John Doe, Joker stuff. Joker doesn't want to give the virus to Waller.
Which makes sense. Like, okay, I don't think he's in the wrong.
I thought it was how immediately professionally Waller took it. Like, she knew he was not going to give it to her. So she was like, okay, yeah, we'll do it this way. And then, like, she trained a bunch of guns on him. And that's the moment when
Joker all because of Amanda Waller.
Yeah. I gotta know. Hang on. I'm gonna look this up real quick. I gotta know whether this episode came out before or after the movie Joker.
Okay.
So what I was looking up just now was whether or not the movie Joker came out before this. And it was like almost 2 years after this, actually.
Yeah, I thought so.
The reason I bring that up is because in what reason John Doe gave for hating the Riddler, he said it's because he was rude.
Yeah.
And in why he's like turned against Amanda Waller, it's because she's so rude. And I don't know if like hating rudeness is a thing about the Joker historically. It makes sense, but that really feels the most like the movie Joker, the Joaquin Phoenix performed Joker. Right. That's like his whole deal. He's he views himself as a vigilante, probably along the same lines as Batman, but he's much more about like killing rude people and people who've emotionally upset him individually.
I don't know if that's a great reason for killing people.
No, that's why he's considered a villain.
Yeah,
he's not a good guy. Yeah, but they try to put a little bit of humanity on the reasons why he is acting that way.
Right. I'm hoping we can kind of talk John down in the next episode. He's still our good buddy.
Yeah. So, well, is he? So the way I ended the episode was, John had Amanda Waller in a headlock, and I think this is like the big moment,
right,
where you can really impact things, with a knife to her neck, and he's gonna like attack her. And you can either go for an agent who's about to shoot John and probably kill him, or go for John and get him to stop killing Waller.
Right.
And I went for the agent, man. I went for the agent.
Ooh,
I did not tackle John.
So I stopped John.
How did that go? How did Waller and John feel about that?
About the same. You don't get any real differences. I watched the other outcome after I beat it, just to see what happens, and yeah.
Really?
So
that feels significant.
Yeah, it's not. I think the exact same thing happens either way. Except, if you tackle the agent, that's one thing. If you choose to stop John, Bruce just says, John, don't. And then he shivs her anyway, but he doesn't get shot and he runs off and is fine.
Okay, I'm, to go ahead a little bit to our choices.
Yeah.
In the choices I've got for, Waller and John specifically, Waller is livid. And I get that.
You know what? Fuck
I've allowed her to get stabbed in the side by John.
I don't care. Fuck Amanda Waller. She's been so on my nerves this whole episode. I'm like, you are just constantly fucking up and not good today.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if she was just like really head, like, steadfast in one direction or another, but she seems a little incompetent also. Like, she's very about cleaning up her own stuff.
And she's getting angry at me. Like, this at the beginning of this episode, she's getting pissed off at me for giving up my identity and letting them get away. And I was thinking, like, where were you? And I was so lucky that one of the dialogue choices is, I didn't see you doing anything.
I also got John as a vigilante.
You got John as a vigilante? I also got that.
I did.
Yeah, sorry, but I got that too. And yeah, I was looking up, after I finished the episode, I was looking up, like, what you can get for these characters. And this is the first time I've done this. Like, before I've just been, like, content in what I get. But this time, I decided, what else could I get? Especially for John. I think John's what made me want to see what I could get. And yeah, the options are vigilante or just full-on villain. So I guess we're on the good path.
Huh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those are the only... maybe we shouldn't know but those are the only things we can get.
Well, there might be more, because I think I got something different for another character that wasn't listed.
Oh, interesting. What'd you get for that?
It was Tiffany. I had her feeling apologetic.
Me too. Actually, let's just go through these. I got determined for Avesta.
I left her I got her feeling gratified.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, I was just...
Why?
I don't know. I guess I... maybe it's because I didn't get angry at her for telling Waller Batman is Bruce Wayne. I probably should have. That's not good. But, you know, I hurt her ears, so...
I did. I said, hey, we'll talk about it later. Because, dude...
we will talk about this in the car.
That's not just cool. Yeah. And then Alfred is proud.
Alfred's also proud for me.
Yeah, Alfred is proud because we told Tiffany Batman doesn't use a gun.
Yeah, it said he was also excited because I told him he gets to have a vacation.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, good for him.
I told him that too. I didn't get excited though. Yeah, you know what? I think we should... There's probably more to talk about. We got to cut this episode short.
Unfortunately, because it's a good episode. I felt very good about it. The scenes with John in particular, very strong.
Yeah. Also, at the carnival, I do want to point out that there's a strength test that you hit with a hammer. And like the categories of how hard you can hit the bell with the hammer go from sick duck at the very bottom to large Marge at the top. And I thought that was worth noting.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah, large Marge is the strongest you can be.
I feel like I wouldn't be a large Marge. I'd probably be closer to sick duck.
Yeah, and I had Bruce do it, and he only got to like the third of 10 rungs.
Ooh.
Which is weird because he's Batman.
Yeah, that's...
He should be very strong.
Yeah, large Marge is some high standards. That's like Bane only, maybe.
Bane might only get to like 7% or 70%.
That's what he should be focusing all his energy on.
Yeah, he's just got to master this strength test. Segments, golden moment. My golden moment is finding John in the carnival.
Damn.
It was just a really strong scene. John had killed those three agents. And you really don't get to know whether he jumped the gun on that or not. They, like, the game goes out of its way to make you feel like you can't know this. You just can't know whether or not you should trust John.
Yeah.
So you have to actually make it a call of, like, a judgment call, a character judgment call.
Yeah. And I trusted him. I wanted to be on Team John. I feel like throughout this whole game, I've been trying to appeal to everybody. But I feel like above all else, I want to be John's friend and not let him Joker forever. I'm hoping we can calm him down at the very least.
Above all else, I'm thinking Gordon. And then John. No, Gordon, then Alfred, and then John. And then Tiffany.
Right.
That's my ranking. That's my priority list.
I think Gordon had kind of slipped for me since he tried to get me arrested, but also just hasn't been here for a while. He hasn't been like a big focus in the story.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
I like to be on Team Gordon. I like Gordon.
A little bit less prioritized this franchise. Yeah. This series. This season? Season. I said franchise. I don't know what I'm thinking.
Yeah, they just kind of decided he's not an important.
Weekly guy.
Who's your weekly guy?
Weekly guy, speaking of character, is John.
Yeah.
This is John's episode. Yeah. This is the one for John.
I had to give it to John again. His scenes are just so good. He's the breakout character in this episode. I did like Avesta in this episode, too, though. I was kind of thinking about her.
Yeah.
She does a good job.
Yeah, Avesta's good.
She does complain that
she... Do you know
if
Avesta is an...
She did...
Like a Batman character? Is she from other stuff?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't recall... I'm not, like, super into every iteration of Batman, so I don't know if she's, like, a character that shows up in other things, but I don't recall seeing her in any.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think I cut you off, though. What else were you going to say about John?
What was I about to say about John? Shit, I forgot.
Maybe we've already said it. Yeah. The choice cut was... the one I wrote down, but like you've definitely soured me on it quite a bit, was stopping John from stabbing Waller or not.
Yeah.
Now I'm a lot less sure about how I feel about that.
I gave it to letting John talk Harley down. Like, that was a good... you're really demonstrating...
Yeah, I think
your...
that's my second... favorite.
Yeah, you're really demonstrating your trust in him at this moment when there is a lot piled up against him. But
yeah,
I feel like it only really goes south when Waller sets things off.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been cool. Could have been John. Could have been just a cool, helpful guy. But instead, he fell off a bridge.
Yeah, my least favorite choice of the episode, we don't do that very often, my choice uncut,
ooh,
is when John first asks to talk to Harley on the bridge, I actually said no.
Okay.
And the choice that I selected that was written on the screen was, I'd like to see this through. That made sense to me.
Right.
As something to choose to say to John. What Bruce Wayne actually said, once I chose that, is, I cannot afford for you to mess this up. And
so
like, Bruce,
not,
that is not what I
that
said,
is so
bud.
Not the same.
Bruce has a major problem, more than most other Telltale protagonists, where he does not say the thing I say to say. He just doesn't.
He's really jokering it up.
Yeah, you know what? Bruce is jokering. Bruce might end up the Joker.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Like, John becomes the new Batman and Bruce becomes a Joker?
Yeah, and John has to wear, like, or Bruce has to wear John's, like, face as a skin on his face.
That
and that's
would be
why he
sad.
Looks like the Joker. Yeah. But John gets a cool, like, no face. So, it's mutually beneficial.
Yeah, he can be the superhero no face. Zero face.
I think that's got to be the episode. We are having technical problems today. I'm sorry for cutting it short, but we talked about, I think, most of the things we wanted to talk about, right?
I think so. Good episode. Sucks we can't really get into it more, but just know that I enjoyed it. And I'm very looking, I'm really
we
looking
might go
forward.
More into depth on some of this character stuff next episode,
yeah,
too.
That's true.
Yeah. So until next time, the next episode is going to be episode 5, the finale of Batman the Enemy Within. You'll be able to catch it if you subscribe to us on whatever podcatcher you're using to listen to podcasts. Anywhere you hear us, you can subscribe to us as well. And that'll come out next week. After that, I think we're going to have a 1-week break while we try to play Sam and Max, This time it's virtual, the VR Sam and Max game. We're going to play that next, immediately after we finish this season. But there's going to be a 1 week break in there. So heads up about that. And until next time, Dustin, have a great summer.
Hey, Mitchell, I hope you have a great summer as well, man.